Are we really happy here with this lonely game we play? Looking for words to say.
Welcome back to the Charlie Tuna Show, presented by Ameren Missouri on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to the show. This portion or segment of the show is brought to you by the Cantor Injury Law Firm. Without a do, I'm going to go to a young man. Everybody's young. Under me is young. Has a very tough job in America from the St. Louis chapter, the NAACP. And folks who have been reading or listening, NAACP has a travel ban for black folks in the state of Missouri, the one and only Adolphus Pruitt. How you doing tonight, Mr. Pruitt?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. We're also joined in the studio by Moses and also Tom. They'll be asking questions. Before we go any further, I want to also thank you. When I had this run-in with this guy a few years ago, and you came to my aid, and I want to officially thank you for supporting me.
Hey, Charlie, that's what we're supposed to do. So.
Now, the NAACP travel ban, now there was a dysfunction between the city and county, whatever. Tell, first of all, before we go any further, because we have a lot of callers listening, black, white, green, purple, tell us how this travel ban came about and what is it all about.
Yeah, and it's more a travel advisory. In essence, there was an accumulation of things that happened over the past few months that really raised the concern of the state president and the state conference about Missouri, and they felt that it was necessary to make sure that everybody who was traveling to Missouri and live in Missouri was aware of what these conditions were. One was that they signed Senate Bill 43, which really made it extremely difficult to prove or be successful in the courts fighting against discrimination in the workplace, but it even extended to public accommodations, housing, and it gutted the state's whistleblower protections for public employees. All of that one bill did all of that. Of course, that bill was on the heels of the voter ID law being signed into a place, making Missouri one of the strictest voter ID states out here. On top of that, then they turned around and took away the minimum wage increase. They voided that bill, and then they went at the Planned Parenthood. And then on top of all of that, Charlie, they came out with the profiling report that they do every year, which showed that African Americans had a 75% greater chance of being stopped, profiled, searched, and things of that nature, traveling through Missouri, not just on Missouri highways, but in Missouri communities, than any other Pacific race of people out here. And so they say it's just about time we start putting this stuff out there, educating the people, both those who come into the state and those who live in the state, on what those conditions were, and also to send a signal to the legislature that, hey, we are reaching a point of critical mass where we had to begin to fight some of this stuff, and this was sort of a shot across the bow. And it turned out to be a pretty good shot because it is not only is it garnered national attention, but it got the support for the national NAACP. And on top of that, even today, there's still any number of outside entities that want to conduct interviews and are digging deep down, doing a deep dive into all of the information I just shared with you.
Before we let Tom and Moses ask the question, because it's my show, I can run it. All right, mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. No. The city and the county chapter of the NAACP, you guys were not on board together until yesterday. Am I correct, or correct me on it?
Well, I mean, the city branch, we've always been supportive of the state action and of course, of the approval of the state action by the national office. And then subsequently, the county decided that they were not in favor of it and put out a press release to that. And then 48 hours later, they reversed that, and they're now in full support of it. You know, unfortunately, they had a right to their opinion, and they came out with one, and they changed it, and they're back on board. And, you know, I guess the only people can answer for that is those folks at St. Louis County that made that decision.
Mr. Pruitt, this advisory, you did get the effect that you were looking for, because I've heard that the mayor's office, you know, wanted to discuss why this travel advisory was issued, and other people here, you know, people of positions of power, because this is not good for the state of Missouri nationally. When you look at this, this could hurt them economically. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely right. And I'll be honest, the advisory should have been a little bit more surgical, but I think, you know, we're going to get there, because, you know, we were having some issues of conventions that were slated to come to St. Louis, and a lot of those folks were thinking about pulling out or not even consider coming here. So we've been on a very proactive basis of contacting them and saying, this advisory, we're not asking you not to come to St. Louis at this point in time, especially not here in the urban areas, St. Louis and Kansas City, because in that particular instance, hurting the hospitality workforce, which is primarily African-American, and it's rural Missouri that is implementing these rules and stuff that is putting, the for lack of a better term, putting their foot on the neck of black folks.
Mr. Pruitt, aside from Senate Bill 43, the other reasons that the NAACP is putting this travel ban out is because of hate crimes. And I know there was a young man in Kansas City, I believe, that was killed a while back. This is not just about black folks. This is about all folks of color, isn't it?
Absolutely. Listen, absolutely. And just to put an exclamation mark on what you just said, so just yesterday we got a call of African-American traveling with two whites through Washington, Missouri, and we're still trying to get all of the details, but they were attacked by a group of whites. The African-American young man was stabbed, and the two whites had broken noses and fractured skulls, and they were called nigger lovers the whole time this was going on. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to, and I know the Washington, Missouri police have opened an investigation. They're looking into it, and we're still trying to get all of the details. But at minimum, what I just shared with you, we got directly from the kid's aunt, who happens to be a St. Louis City African-American policeman.
My guest tonight is Adolphus Pruitt.
This is Martin Kilcoyne, and you're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, KPNT HD2 Collinsville, and Inside STL, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
Now, you have pundits that are saying, okay, you're doing an advisory. What about, are they doing an advisory about black-on-black crime? Mm. What about that?
You know, let's be clear. Mm-hmm. If you are African-American in North St. Louis and North County, and you happen to be poor and live in some of the most depressed areas, the least thing they need to be is warned of the violence that they're dealing with and seeing on an ongoing basis. Mm-hmm. And it's so unfortunate. So warning them about what's going on in their backyard serves no purpose. But to the same degree, using these sort of warnings and using this sort of traction to highlight the fact that the crime that's going on in these areas is a adverse outcome from poverty, from joblessness, from poor education, from everything across the board. And if we're not prepared to address those social needs and address them in a way in which we can bring some relief to those particular areas, then we're always going to have this issue of crime. Unfortunately, Charlie, if stories really look back, you will find that gun violence has been the number one killer of African-American males between the ages of 15 and 35 since the 60s. It's been up there, and that doesn't justify it to stay there, but it just goes to show you how systemic it has been, and it's been systemic because the poverty that impacts the urban core has been just as systemic.
Mr. Pruitt, I've got a question for you, and of course I'm never going to try to put you on the spot, but you can handle it anyway. We often hear, how can we stop crime? Not in St. Louis, but all over the country. Adding police officers. Does that help to add extra police, or is this just a lost generation? How can we stop crime?
In reality, everything you just said has a considerable amount of truth to it, but not to a point of permanency where we can't change it. One is more police can't stop crime, not, and especially it cannot stop this issue of violence and murders. Unless the police are there, when whoever the individual is has decided that they're going to use violence against someone, unless they're there, they're not going to be able to stop it. And I don't think any police force in the world has come up with a way of predicting where murder is going to happen, when it's going to happen, and be there on the spot to prevent it. And so you got people in their houses, people in cars, people selling drugs, and having this interaction that flares up and leads to some sort of altercation that winds up with somebody being seriously hurt or killed. You can put the police on every corner. That's not going to stop it. And in some cases, unfortunately, some of these guys, if they run into the person they're looking for, they're going to shoot at them if the police are standing there watching them, and going to shoot at the police too. And that's unfortunate. But they've gotten to that point of despair and lawlessness, and all of it again is a byproduct of poverty. The other side is that there is a generation, and there may be a couple of generations that have reached a point where, unless we can give them some extreme intervention, that the lifestyle they live in is not going to change, and they're going to live that lifestyle till they wind up in their graves, and there's not much we're going to be able to do about it. And that extreme intervention, whether it can work, whether it's even possible to do it at a scale that needs to be done, you know, that's something that bears to be seen. But to the same degree, it's an obligation that I think we as a civil rights organization has to push for society and government to continue to try to attack, to continue to try to find a solution for, shrugging our shoulders, throwing our hands up and say there's nothing else we can do.
Mr. Pruitt, what do you say to the people who look at the NAACP as nothing more than a figurehead now? Because you look at all the violence that we have in the black community in this country, and then you look at how now the government is pumping millions of dollars into opioid rehabilitation and intervention when 30 years ago, the crack epidemic, they didn't do a darn thing.
Amen. When you hear a good sermon, you say amen. that's exactly the case, that if they had approached crack and drugs in the African-American community when we was infested with it, mm-hmm. the same way going about the opioid problem, I think some of this would have gone away. But as it relates to the NAACP being a figurehead, let's just say this. I don't care who the organization is, your church, Boy Scouts, your recreation club, center, whatever you want to call it, it is a reflection of the people in it, and it can be no more effective than those people who run it. And so at the end of the day, you have some chapters of the NAACP like ours that is extremely effective at what it is we do, and then you have some other ones that are less effective, and that's only because of the people who make that place up. I'm not throwing churches under the bus, but if you go back, in actuality, the NAACP, when it was at its height, was fueled by the members of the religious community who came out of the churches. Those were the folks that was on the front line. Those were the folks who provided the support. The meetings and stuff occurred in the churches. The churches provided the sanctuary and all of the other things. And you got the churches are suffering. They're suffering because if you look in the churches, it's filled up, it's full of more females than males. And those females have just as much on their hands to deal with, just trying to keep raise the families they got and help uplift the, whatever man it is in their life. And so it trickles down. If you have poor people, and poor people are the backbone for organizations, then it goes to show you more likely than not will have poor performance for the organizations that they are part of.
Mr. Pruitt, as a man of some age, I have never, ever heard of a travel ban for an entire state in this continental 48 states that's down here in the United States. Does the current administration in Washington, does that have anything to do with what's going on in the back rooms of Missouri government and what's happening on the streets of Missouri?
Yeah, of course. The political party in power always has to take responsibility for both the good and the bad that goes on in this country. And again, it's a travel advisory, and the methodology with respect to travel advisories have been done by the ACLU and other places in other states. So it's not new. It is a new tool or tactic used by the NAACP, but it's not new in its usage by other organizations who fight for rights. But yes, the tone in Washington has just as much of a chilling effect and act as an energy boost for those folks who are indifferent to right and wrong and a moral objective to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to be the best they can be in this country. At the end of the day, all we want is a piece of the American dream. And yes, I think the tone in Washington and some of the stuff that's coming out of Washington and definitely some of the stuff that's coming out of the state of Missouri is hindering people from getting their piece of the American dream.
Have you heard from Governor Greitens on this matter?
I haven't directly. If the contact was going to be made, more likely than not, he would have contacted our state president, but I can assure you that our state president has not heard from him, and most of the press that I've talked with have raised the question that they've reached out for the governor for a statement, and he refers back to the statement he issued when he signed Senate Bill 43, and again, when he and others try to limit this whole effort to respond to Senate Bill 43, to some degree, they're doing a disservice to the other issues that were raised in the travel advisory, and especially as it relates to the racial profiling numbers we got from police departments all across the state.
My guest tonight, Adolphus Pruitt from the NAACP chapter, state of Missouri City and County. What can be done to lift the advisory, which I think right now probably is almost impossible? That means that starts with the policeman, is that correct? And by crime, what is how does that work?
I think what's going to happen is it's going to take some leadership at the state level, whether it's the Speaker of the House or the President of the Senate or even the Governor, to at minimum come out and say that the issues that are being raised are deserve an errant. Error to be aired and discussed not only with the public but also with the black legislators and the NAACP to see if we can reach some sort of a middle ground that can make all of this stuff a little bit more or less of egregious on people of color, especially as it relates to, you know, we have a racial profiling law on the books that requires that this report is done, and we've been doing it for over a decade. But no matter what the report comes back and shows, there's no repercussions for anybody any department who has high disparate numbers of racial profiling. So it's a law that says, show me, I hate to use this term, but it's a law that says, tell me which bank you robbed, but don't worry. We're not gonna lock you up for bank robbery. We just need you to tell us how many you robbed and how much money you took. Well, that's what's happening with this. The everyday police departments are profiling people of color, robbing them of their civil rights, reporting it on an annual basis to the state, and that's the extent of it. So looking at that law, revising that law, giving it some teeth, and addressing the systemic issue, you know, having that discussion, beginning to have that discussion in a fruitful way with the objective of trying to bring some resolution is another one of the things that we think needs to happen for the advisory to go away. And more than anything, and I'll be direct honest with you, I am crafting some strategies now to turn over to the state president and take a look up and say, listen, you know, we may be at a point where this advisory really has to go to something stronger. I've been on other shows. I was on a show the other day which was out of Atlanta, and those folks are saying, hey, tell us what to buy and what not to buy. They want to go straight to a boycott, an economic boycott of some sort against whoever the entities that are contributing to these conditions. And I think we have to be prepared to go to that level if we really want to see a response from the governor's office and from the legislature.
Mr. Pruitt, I got one more quick question, and it's simple. People hear the word, but they don't know what it actually means. What is racial profiling according to the NAACP?
Well, that's the best way to put it is that if there's a group of people who are stopped more often, searched more often, arrested more often, then a different set of group of people who are driving down the same street, then there is a logical explanation for it. And that's one is the difference in their skin tone. And let's be clear, that I can't make it any more simple. You, everybody on listening on this station, know of some place that if this time of night, if somebody black was driving through that particular neighborhood and a white police officer saw him, he's going to stop him or try to find a reason to stop him. And he's told to do that as a tactic for crime prevention, is that if you see somebody and you think they're out of place, stop them and find out what they're doing there. Unfortunately, if it's an all-white community or predominantly white community and you're black and you're driving through there, you are out of place simply because of the color of your skin, and you're going to be stopped.
Mr. Pruitt, thanks very much. We'll always be in touch. And once again, thanks for the wonderful work you and the organization have done. One of the oldest organizations in the country. And quite frankly, before you helped me out, I thought the NCAA was irrelevant. I was wrong about that. But thank you once again for the work you do.
No, thank you for giving us the time to share our thoughts. And you too to the other two gentlemen on the show.
Okay. Hey, one more quick question. CNN and other outlets have reached out to you as well, correct?
Yeah, mainly to the state president, but yeah, a lot of them have reached out to me also, yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Pruitt. We'll visit in a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Well,
I would have liked to ask him if I would have been racially profiled. If I got pulled over in East St. Louis at, let's say, 1 in the morning, would that be racial profiling?
Depends on what you did.
No, if I was just driving through.
Well, could be.
That would be racial profiling.
Well, you know what?
You may be a drug dealer.
I know guys.
That's a good point.
I may not.
You know, I know guys who are policemen, and when they see somebody white in those neighborhoods, they have a tendency to think they're down here buying drugs.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
So
that
is racial profiling, to a degree.
It is to a degree, but not our degree,
but it's to a degree.
You're not going to worry about getting shot. You're going to make it home.
Somebody put a cap in my
All your constitutional rights will be
violated.
I'll get beat up. You know that.
Tomorrow is the three-year anniversary of Michael Brown's death. We're going to take a quick time out.
3 years already. Wow.
3 years already. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Victory Men's Help. Phone number is 618-632-9000. Men, if you're suffering from low T, and most men are, I keep telling you, check it out. I was suffering from low T. That was called low tuna. Now I've got a lot high tolerance of tuna.
You just got the better.
I got fish oil now, baby. Victory Men's Health, erectile dysfunction, vitamin deficiency. They're closed Saturday and Sunday. Open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Matter of fact, in the near future, there's going to be a St. Louis office. But it's real close to downtown. Tommy, tell you, it takes
O'Fallon.
About, yeah, right there at O'Fallon.
15 minutes from downtown St. Louis. Yeah.
But they're getting ready to open up a St. Louis office. And men are so embarrassed to talk about this. And people are saying, I've had people say to me, man, how can you talk about that on the radio? Why can't I? I mean, nobody's in my bedroom to see my secrets. Thon. We'll take a quick time out. We'll be right back. So come on out tonight, and we'll leave the others on a ride through paradise. And if you feel all right, then we can be lovers, cause I see that starlight look in your eyes. Tony La Russa here. Has your loss of energy and weight gain thrown you a curveball in your relationship? If so, go see my friends over at Victory Men's Health. Discreet, first-class professionals will help you hit those curves out of the park. VictoryMen'sHealth.com.